Any more?
You've got the list, mate.
okay, all right. Yeah, well, let me think spontaneously. Hello and welcome. If you're a new listener, this is Aprender Inglés con Reza Craig, episode 76. I'm Reza.
And I'm Craig.
Craig, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. I'm looking forward to helping our listeners grow their grammar, vocalize their vocabulary, and perfect their pronunciation. Are you?
You're such a poet.
Yes. Yes. In fact, they're Craig's lines. I stole them from him. Between the two of us, we've been teaching for over 40 years, nearly 45, I think. And so we hope we can help you improve your English. We've learned a few tricks. In this episode, we'll be talking about a tricky area, which is strong adjectives. We mean words like huge rather than big. Big is a normal adjective, but huge. Or enormous. Angry is an ordinary adjective, but furious is the strong version. That to come. But first, some listener feedback. We heard from Rafael again. Do you remember where Rafael comes from?
No.
Spanish, I think? Not sure.
Can't remember. Sorry, Rafael.
Rafael, we've forgotten. Sorry. But Rafael wrote, hello.
Yes, Barcelona.
Barcelona.
I think.
Hello, Craig. I have heard in your last episode, well, it should be I heard, past simple, because it's a specific episode. I heard in your last episode that one listener asked for the Spanish expression, tira y afloja. This expression is very common in Spanish, and there is always a negotiation on. What do you mean by that? There's always debate about it, I think you mean. I'll explain to you in an example. When Russia and the United States, in Spanish he says, cuando se reúnen para negociar algo, Rusia cede en algo a favor de los Estados Unidos. Y los Estados Unidos cede en otra cosa a favor de Rusia. Cuando esa negociación es dura, entonces hablamos de un tira y afloja. Uno cede en algo a favor del otro y el otro cede en algo en a favor de uno. Don't confuse, he writes, going back into English, don't confuse with the expression, which is very similar, rifirrafe. It's the same, but more hard, he wrote.
Rifirrafe.
Rifirrafe. It's more extreme. And he gives an example. Two players in a football match. And he says, se están dando leño, not fair play. The opposite of fair play. Se dan pataditas durante todo el encuentro. O si llegan a insultar, por ejemplo. Entonces decimos que ha habido un rifirrafe.
Have you heard that expression before?
Rifirrafe, I have, yeah.
I haven't heard that.
Rifirrafe. There was a bit of to-ing and fro-ing or a bit of rough stuff, you might say in English.
Argy-bargy.
Argy-bargy, rough stuff, to-ing and fro-ing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A needle match?
Yes, a needle match. Yeah. Needle is uja, I think. So yeah. A needle aguja. Match.
Aguja.
Aguja. Yeah. How do you say it?
Aguja.
Aguja. Yeah, a needle match would be, for example, two London teams playing against each other. A lot of rivalry and maybe some bad temper would be a needle match. Very competitive. A bit rough.
Whereas tira y afloja is a bit of give and take.
Give and take.
Give and take.
Exactly.
Okay, another thing Rafael writes. I have looked for the phrasal verb trade off, which we talked about recently. It's not the same. In Spanish, it would be compensación, as you have explained well in another episode. Thank you. Another thing he writes, I'm just reading what he writes. Tell Reza that el día de la Hispanidad, he made a good translation.
Well done, Reza.
As Spanishness, Hispanidad. He said he checked it in the dictionary. And also, Columbus Day in the United States is the correct translation. Thank you very much, Rafael. And he ends, bueno. Esto es todo. Espero no haberme puesto muy pesado. No, no. Y si me pongo, no tienes más que decírmelo. No, no. We're delighted to hear from you.
But we will tell you if you do get a bit pesado.
Yeah. So far.
Don't worry. So far, so good.
So that was a message from Rafael Alba García. Thank you very much, Rafael. Also, we have a voice message from Erika from Mexico.
Let's hear what Erika has to say.
My name is Erika. I live in Mexico. I just found your page, and I think it's a great page for English listeners and speakers. I just wonder, what are the prices for the English classes online? I really like to take them. Thank you so much.
Well, Erica, we do not charge for our courses at mansioningles.com. So if you want to study with us and study free at no cost, just go to mansioningles.com, and on the homepage you will see a link to all of our courses. We have 4 courses in English, from principiante, complete beginner, up to advanced. And I suggest you first take our level test, our prueba de nivel, and then depending on the results, you take the course that is at your level.
And of course, you can supplement your speaking skills by trying iTalki by following the link which we've told you about.
So if you want to pay, Erica, yeah, if you want to pay for lessons and you want a private teacher through Skype and video chat, etc., go to inglespodcast.com/iTalki and take advantage of our special offer with iTalki that will give you 1 free lesson.
Down to business, Craig.
Down to business.
Down to business. Those extreme adjectives or strong adjectives we were talking about, words like furious, huge, etc. Well, furious really means something similar to angry, but furious is more extreme than angry. For example, if Craig stole my piece of chocolate in front of my very eyes and ate it, I would be angry.
But not surprised.
Not surprised, no. And also, I wouldn't be furious because worse things could happen. However, if Craig took out a gun and shot me in the foot, then I think I'd be furious. I would be extremely angry.
And surprised.
And surprised, yes. So furious is more extreme than angry.
What happens is that when you start studying English, I think you get exposed and you learn the basic adjectives. So what we'd like to do here is to introduce you perhaps to some extreme adjectives that students don't often use when they're speaking English. So I think you have some examples there, Reza.
Well, I tell you what, Craig, let's test you. I will say the neutral, standard, not particularly strong, the normal adjective, and you tell me a more extreme version.
I'll try.
So, for example, going back to our example, if I say angry, you say
furious. I was furious to see that Reza had stolen my chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Craig would be furious. Matters of chocolate are very important to him. Okay. Big.
Very, very big is huge or enormous.
Or any more? Vast.
Vast.
Titanic. Colossal.
Wow.
There's a lot. Clever.
Ingenious?
Mm-hmm. Could be.
That's one that comes to mind.
Or brilliant.
Brilliant.
Cold. So more than just cold.
I was very, very cold. I was absolutely freezing.
Freezing.
It's freezing outside today. It's really, really cold.
What about an extreme version of dirty?
Filthy. Which are often put together. Filthy, dirty. This room is filthy, dirty. It really needs a clean. Can you think of any more for dirty?
Stinking.
Stinking, yeah.
Hot.
Boiling. In August in Valencia, it's boiling or boiling hot.
Very, very hot. It's roasting.
Roasting.
It's baking hot. Hungry.
Starving. I'm absolutely starving.
Another one is famished.
Yes.
Interested.
I'm very, very interested in learning Chinese. I'm fascinated with Chinese, to be fascinated with or by something.
What if you're more than just pleased?
Ecstatic.
Yes, indeed.
Thrilled.
Another.
I was thrilled to hear from you. I was thrilled to receive your email.
Or delighted.
Also, delighted to see you.
What if you were surprised, a more extreme form of surprised?
Shocked?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was shocked to discover that my chocolate had disappeared.
Or horrified, perhaps. What about a more extreme version of scared or frightened? More extreme.
I was very, very frightened. I was terrified. Terrified.
Or even petrified.
Petrified.
Petrified. So frightened, almost turned to stone. More extreme than small, Craig.
Tiny. Mm-hmm. Or minuscule.
Minuscule. What a great word. Mm-hmm. A more extreme form of tired.
I got home from work yesterday and I was absolutely exhausted. Absolutely exhausted. Very, very tired. There's a colloquial British English expression, knackered.
Yes.
Yeah, knackered. K-N-A-C-K-E-R-E-D. Knackered.
What about very, very ugly?
Hideous, perhaps?
Yes. Can you spell hideous?
H-I-D-E-O-U-S.
Yes, hideous. It's nothing to do with hiding. It looks like it comes from the word hide, but it doesn't. What if you're very upset?
Very, very upset.
For example, if you've heard some really bad news. Really, really bad news.
I heard that Mickey Mouse is retiring.
Oh, no, that's...
I was absolutely devastated.
Devastated. I can't think of any worse news.
Devastated by the news of Mickey Mouse's retirement.
Well, there are plenty more that we could mention, but I think it'd be more fun if you told us. Why don't you send us a voice message and tell us some of the extreme or strong adjectives like enormous, exhausted, devastated, etc. that you know.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. Please send us your voice messages. You can send us a voice message and record your voice at inglespodcast.com or send us an email. You can send me an email to craig@inglespodcast.com and to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com.
And we wouldn't just be happy to hear from you, we would be thrilled and delighted to hear from you.
We would be absolutely ecstatic if you dropped us a line and got in touch with us. Moving on to our proverbs section. Reza, have you got any proverbs for us this week?
Let's see. One of my all-time favourites is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
That's one of my favourites as well, especially when I think of my English students. You can do things for them and explain what they have to do to practice their English and improve their English, but you can't make them do it.
Mm-hmm. You can. The water is the material. The water is good for the horse. You bring it to the water. But if it doesn't want to drink that water, well, you can't make it, even though it's going to suffer.
And lead is yavar. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Any more?
You've got the list, mate.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well. Let me think spontaneously. What about don't count your chickens before they hatch?
Another animal. So first horses and now chickens. Don't count your chickens before they hatch means?
Don't presume something before it happens. You can't be sure it's going to happen. If you have eggs, you hope that the eggs will turn into chickens. The chickens will hatch, come out of the eggs. But there's always a few eggs that don't give chickens.
Absolutely.
So you can never be 100% sure that something's going to happen. Don't count your chickens before they hatch, before the egg breaks.
Isn't there a similar Spanish saying with cows and milk? No vende la leche antes de comprar la vaca o algo así.
Oh, but I haven't heard it before, but it sounds right. It makes sense. Sounds logical.
I'm sure someone will write and tell us. I think I've got it wrong, but there's something with a cow and milk that's don't count your chickens before they hatch. No vendes la leche antes de comprar la vaca, or something like that.
Can someone please write in and confirm that for us?
If I've got it wrong, which I might have. Any others, Reza?
The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, or some people say on the other side of the hill.
That always reminds me of looking at what your neighbour has and wanting it yourself. Like your neighbour buys a new car and you think, oh, I wish I had that car. Or your neighbour gets a different job and you wish you had that job. You should be satisfied with what you have and try to enjoy what you have and not always wish for things you don't have. Because the grass always seems greener on the other side of the fence.
But it's just an illusion. It isn't greener.
Appreciate what you have in life.
What about this one? You can't judge a book by its cover. What does that mean?
That's connected to first impressions, isn't it? So you can't really know someone or something without spending time with them or having the experience with them. So you shouldn't be quick to judge on first impressions.
Yes. Like a book. Until you've read the book, you can't say if it's a good book or not. The picture and the cover is irrelevant.
So don't be misled by your first impressions. They may be wrong.
And then let's end in two proverbs, because they contradict each other. And as we mentioned before, proverbs in English and Spanish, and I bet in all languages, often do contradict each other. The first one, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And the second one, out of sight, out of mind.
So the first one is, for example, you are not with someone you love because they are in a different place and you think about them all the time and you become more fond of them, or you love them more because they're not next to you.
You miss them.
You miss them, yeah.
And their absence makes you want them more.
However, out of sight, out of mind, if you don't see your partner or your lover, then you stop thinking about them.
Not only your lover, it could be for anything, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they contradict each other, as many proverbs do.
If you have a favourite proverb, please let us know. Send us an email or a voice message with your favourite proverb or saying. On next week's episode, starting a conversation and making small talk. And if you want to start a conversation and make small talk with me, every week, usually on Thursday, I connect on the internet to do a video chat on the Blab platform. That's blab.im, blab.im. In order to join, all you need is a Twitter account. So if you're on Twitter and you'd like to join and practice your English, you can find more details, including the time and day of our weekly blabs, on our Facebook page. So that's facebook.com/mansioningles, or of course on Twitter, and our Twitter name is Mansion Twit. So join us on a blab. Until next episode, it's goodbye from me,
and it's bye-bye from me.
A huge goodbye from an enormous goodbye from both of us. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.